It's green for go. They're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best. The king is in the castle once more.
This is in one race. The rest are almost in another post.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat. A miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Menangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sunday Session, episode number 86 today of the Sprint Lane podcast series for Harness Racing New South Wales. My name is Greg Hayes. Great to have your company. Plenty going on in the sport of harness racing. Great action from New Zealand on Friday night at both Addington and Alexandra Park. We saw some top class racing out of Western Australia as well. And then we had all of the great action in New South Wales over the weekend. Newcastle on Friday night, dominated by young Lucas Rando. Menangle was a tough night for the punters. I think only three of the eight favourites were successful, but we saw Very Pretty obliterate her rivals in a heat of the New South Wales Oaks, and we booked another group of mares into next week's QE2 Cup, although I think the winner may have been at home in her stable last night. More on that later. Who's on the podcast this week? First up, I'm going to speak with Lucas Rando, who drove the four winners. I haven't had a lot to do with Lucas during his career. He's one of the young guys that have made a name for themselves during my time away from the sport. So I haven't had the chance to speak with him previously. So after a career night for him at Newcastle with four winners, I'm looking forward to catching up with him today. Keely Hepworth is an 18-year-old driver who enjoyed the first win of her career at Newcastle during the week. And I've been able to track down Keely to learn a little bit more about her. So she's going to join me this week on the podcast as well. I was out at the Goulburn Carnival of Cups meeting today. Great afternoon for racing. Weather was pleasant. Not as cold as I thought it was going to be. The racing was great and the music was on point. Great afternoon all round. Congratulations to Harness Racing New South Wales and also the Goulburn Club. Great way to wrap up the Carnival of Cups this time around. While I was at the races, now I caught up with plenty of people and you'll see a lot of those or all of those interviews across social media through Twitter or Instagram, Facebook in the next week or so. But one that I did want to grab and play on the podcast this week was the chat I had with Ricky Alchin in regards to Lux Eterna. Now, she was dominant as a two-year-old. She swept all the categories. She was New South Wales two-year-old filly of the year. She was Australian two-year-old filly of the year. And for mine, the jury's just been out on her as a three-year-old. She raced well at Menangle on Saturday in a race I thought she might be a little bit vulnerable in. And Ricky takes us through her preparation this time in. He's quite frank and upfront with his thoughts on her. So I'll also play that interview as part of today's podcast. So looking forward to hearing from Ricky. Speaking of Goulburn, Don Liu smashed the track record to bits as he continued on his winning way in their feature race. It was the second leg of a double for Seaton Grimer. More importantly, the feature event on the card. Amazingly, there were some very rich bonuses on offer throughout the Carnival of Cups if horses could win three or more legs of the Carnival of Cups. And while those big bonuses attracted plenty of well-performed horses, it was interesting to note that all five legs were won by different horses. It'll be interesting to see what Harness Racing New South Wales do for the Carnival of Cups later on in the year and whether those rich bonuses are repeated and on offer again. Let's hope so, because while it isn't easy to win three of the five Carnival of Cups, it does ensure some of those very well-performed horses are happy to travel across the state to compete for the big money. Just before we get into the podcast and speak with Lucas, I'm hearing some rumblings. There's another horse about to be invited to compete in the Eureka. This one is a little bit left field, but if the rumours are correct, then it's going to be very exciting times for a well-known family in the sport of harness racing in New South Wales. Anyway, more on that later in the week. Let's get into the podcast. And first up, Lucas Rando.
Stony Royd has a nice break coming to the bend, led by 8 metres. Out wide, Major Mickey goes to second. Battling away is Just One More, and Brooks Smart Dancer is now starting to unleash down the centre. In front is getting close to the line, Stony Royd, but Brooks Smart Dancer coming at it strongly. Brooks Smart Dancer and Stony Royd. Stony Royd kick back. Stony Royd, that's four for Lucas Rando. Stony Royd wins over Brooks Smart Dancer. Photo third, Be Good Benny, Major Mickey and Rainbow Jet.
What a night on Friday night for Lucas Rando. Four winners on the cart, in the cart at Newcastle. and takes him well past 50 winners now. He's got 56 career winners, only a young bloke, 21, doing a very good job, and he's joining me to have a chat. Morning, Lucas. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on air as well, too.
No problems at all. Did you go to the races on Friday thinking that you were going to have a big night?
In all honesty, probably not. I thought both of my father's horses were really good winning chances, and the others, obviously, they're a little bit one-dimensional in the way they race, so they always need a little bit to go right, and I thought that would be the case. But I was confident that I'd be around the mark. I'll never go in my wildest dreams, so I really think I'd get four. But yeah, it was a bit of a surprise.
But before Friday night, what was your best time at the races? How many winners?
I got a treble one night at Penrith towards the back end of 2022. I got a treble one night at Penrith, but before that, there was a couple doubles, but nothing like four.
Yeah, no, sensational. And just having a look at your career so far, last year was your best season with 20 winners, and you've already got 11 through the end of April. So it looks as though you're going to enjoy your best season in the cart to date.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I hope you're right. We're probably, the concession drivers at the moment are very fortunate in the way the handicapping system's schemed. It's really playing into our hands. So there's an abundance of opportunity going around amongst all of us, just making it easier for everyone.
So you got the call up on Friday night for the Morris stable. Robbie Morris unable to take his drives, had a problem with his back. So are you doing a little bit of work for the Morrises?
Yeah, I have been. I've sort of floated around from stable to stable a little bit the past few months without any real clear action in regards to what I was going to do going forwards, in all honesty. But I just happened to love it. Robbie's quite regularly. I was just trying to drive track work, and naturally they're the biggest stable in Sydney, so they always have plenty of work around in regards to just driving track work, and it's just sort of blossomed into a more full-time opportunity.
Well, let's take a look at the wins on Friday night. The first of them was in race two. You drove Big Black Diamond for Kerry Ann. And this one, well, gee, there was some speed on in this race. You must have been giggling to yourself. They went 26.9 out of the gate and then 29.4 second quarter. So from your good draw, you got back in the field, but you were travelling strongly.
Yeah, that's right. To be honest, things didn't necessarily go to plan. The initial sort of thought process was that he might be quick enough out to clear the two to his inside, and then I'd have the option to either hold or take a sit on one of the better ones from there. But as you said, they got out so quick, I just sort of happened to lob back. And then when Luke Whittaker took off on the Fortunate Son, it sort of set things up quite well for me, because the tempo just went to another level again. But I was pretty confident a long way out he'd be in the finish, but it wasn't until the last 100 metres I went, okay, yeah, he's going to win.
It was a bit of a blanket finish, wasn't it? I think the winning margin was ahead and there wasn't much back to third. So Big Black Diamond just stuck his head out at the right time.
Yeah, it was very good to get a win at Red. Well, she's a very good supporter of the industry as a whole, and he's especially a good supporter of Robbie, and he's very good to both me and Chloe for most of who work there as well. He's given us a plethora of opportunities. So I actually got a double beam because he had a chair to heaven too, so it's good to get a winner for him.
Now, Sea Story was the second winner, and this one, you were pretty aggressive at the start. You wanted to hold the front, and that was the winning move.
Yeah, she's a really, really nice horse, to be fair. She, my father's done a sensational job with her to get her back. She's broken down a couple of times, and he's done a mountain of work to get her sound. And she'd had two trials where we hadn't let her off the bridle, and she'd had two runs off the second row at Penrith, where she hadn't had any real luck. She sort of not really been let off the bridle. And he told me this week, his best asset's always been a gate speed from the low draw. It was time to make use of it. She was the one that I thought would probably win. And she did the job, and it was really good to see them do it, because they own all of it too.
And it was interesting watching that race, because you wanted to get going probably around that quarter mark at the, you know, and really make them chase you home, because you obviously thought you had the best horse in the race.
Yeah, I was always confident I was on the best horse in the race, and once I got easy in our second quarter, I was pretty keen to get rolling down the back. Sort of makes it a bit harder for him to make a move then at that point, so I was very confident a long way out with her.
Shades of Heaven was the third of the winners, again for Kerry Ann Morris, again from barrier number one, and you got a beautiful trip on Shades of Heaven.
Yeah, the barrier draws win races at the end of the day, and he was fortunate that he drew one in a race where there wasn't necessarily a lot of gate speed to his outside, as he's not a horse with a lot of gate speed himself. He just happened to lob handy enough, and the race just got run for certain. He did a good job. He found the line, and he just pipped Chloe on the line, which gives me a bit of bragging rights for the week too, which is nice.
Did you think you'd won on the line?
Yeah, I let out a little quick 50 metres out that I was going to get her, so I was pretty happy I got her in the end.
And then Ideal Desire, it was Stony Royd in race number 8 that made up your 4 winners. And again, barrier number 1, able to show good speed for Dad.
Yeah, he's another horse that he sort of had a lot of little niggling issues throughout his career, and it was nice for him to get back in the winner's circle. That was the first time he's shown any discernible gate speed, which was a bit of a surprise. I thought he was the best horse in the race, but I thought he'd get buried at first. So I was fortunate he'd come out well enough on his own to lob Andy. Andy ended up being in front. I'll be honest, halfway down the straight, I was cursing myself. I've gone too early here. He's going to lay down and get beat. But to the horse's credit, he kicked back and won.
Watching the race halfway down the straight, he did look to be you know, paddling a little bit. But to your credit, you're able to urge him to the line and got there first.
Yeah, I think he did most of the lifting. I was just happened to be sitting behind him. I think he was sort of waiting for something to get alongside him. He's a horse that lacks a bit of focus at the best of times, so it was good to see him kick back,
mate. Were you always going to be involved in harness racing?
Yeah, it was inevitable, given like my family connections to the sport. I'm the fourth generation of my family to be a participant, and I never really intended to do it in this capacity, in all honesty. I always sort of wanted to be a jockey, and I'm 6'1", so that went out the window quite quickly, and it seemed like the most logical progression thereafter.
So you've always been around horses from a youngster then?
Yeah, I never did mini trots or anything like that, but I was always in and amongst the horses. But I was always really, really passionate about the racing side of things. Like, I grew up, I don't know what normal people did on their Saturdays. I spent my Saturdays parked in front of the TV watching races, and I learned to read reading the trot guide, so it was always inevitable I was going to be involved in it somehow.
And mate, what about your dreams, your future? What would you like to? Where would you like to go with your career?
In all honesty, I'd really just love to drive full time. The training side of things doesn't appeal to me as much as it does most others. I really am passionate about the driving, and long term, I'd love to either stay in Sydney. I think our racing's tremendous, but if Sydney wasn't to work out, the next backup would be Western Australia. I think their racing is the best in the country. And obviously everyone has the ambition to drive internationally. Everyone wants to go have a crack at America, and everyone wants to go have a crack at Europe and the like, and it'd be nice to do those things at some point. But for now, I'm very content in Sydney. I've sort of set myself up quite well here. I've got my partner lives here too, so it's all going quite well. So I'd love to just stay in Sydney and try and establish myself as one of the leading concession drivers to start with and see what happens thereafter.
Well, mate, you're a good talker. You've made a great start to your career, and a night like Friday night isn't going to hurt you either with 4 winners on the program. Congratulations, and all the best of luck going forward.
Thank you, Greg. I truly appreciate it.
The leader is Stella's Delight, only narrowly now. Mercurius trying to get on terms, and here's a lot of cost working up, putting itself into the race stylishly. Highway Rider gets onto its back, nowhere to go, Happy As, and I Fell From Heaven trying to work off the inside, around the bend and sweeping to the front is a lot of cost. I Fell From Heaven goes to second, back to the inside, trying to give chase to this leader. That's a lot of cost in front. I Fell From Heaven, late as Western Ricky, but it is a lot of cost over I Fell From Heaven. Photo third, either Western Ricky or Highway Rider.
Well, I don't think Killy Hepworth's going to forget Monday for quite some time. She drove her first winner at Newcastle Harness, and she would be very happy with that. Good morning, Killy.
Morning.
Congratulations with the victory. That must have been something pretty special.
Yes, it was very special. He's my favourite horse, so it was nice to get my first winner on him.
Take us through Monday's win, because you drove perfectly. You got him into the perfect spot in the early stages and were just able to give him a nice run throughout.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how he'd go off in the running line. He's normally not quite good off the fence, but yeah, Bevan told me to just go on the running line, give him every chance, and then Josh Gallagher went on a three wide move, and I thought I'll wet travel and I'll follow him, and yeah, he just kept plugging away, so I was very happy with that, actually.
Yeah, well, when you got up on the back of Josh's horse, Mercurius, you were travelling strongly with a lot of cost, but then you hit the front on the home turn, and did you think you might have hit the front a little bit early?
I thought I did at that point, yeah, but yeah, he kept going. He sort of waits for him a little bit, so I was worried that something might pick us up, but no, he kept going. So,
what were you thinking halfway down the straight? You thought you were going to hang on?
Yeah, I did actually. When he sort of doesn't respond sometimes, but I give him a couple more, and he started to respond a bit better, and I was like, oh, thank God.
And what was the feeling like when you hit the line? Something really special?
Very special, yeah. I love him. He taught me to drive, so it was pretty cool.
Take us through your career. You came through the mini trots?
Yes, I did actually. My mum's partner introduced me to mini trots, and then one of my friends, Isabella Cassar, she was kind enough to let me drive one of her ponies for a long time, and yeah, we had a few nice wins and drove some good races.
So have you been around horses all the time, or and then got involved in the mini trots, or was it the first time you'd been around horses when you got involved with the minis?
No, I had riding ponies for a long time, always rode since I was little and stuff like that. My family had gallopers, so.
So there was there any ever thought that you might head down the galloping path, or was it always, once you were in the mini trots, it was always going to be the harness?
Yeah, I think once I got to mini trots, I decided that was for me.
And what about, how have you got into the big ones? You obviously drove for Bevan on the weekend, so on Monday. So tell us how you got into the bigger horses.
Yeah, well, my mum and her partner actually bred a horse who Bevan's dad trained, and we went to the trials to watch him one day. And Bevan said, "Do you want something to do with the horses?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I do." Like, you know, I wasn't really doing much at the time. I'd just finished school, so I thought, perfect. And, yeah, I just sort of got into it through Bevan, and then I branched off and worked for Adam Magari for a little while.
Okay. And so are you working for Adam now, or?
Not as often anymore, just more Bevan.
Okay. And so you're working for Bevan. So is it a full-time thing for you, or do you manage a job as well?
Yeah, it's pretty full-time. Like, I like doing it, so, yeah, I sort of have it as a full-time thing, and just great that I get to earn the money with it.
Yeah, exactly right. And you've only taken up driving in this current year. How are you finding it? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it actually. I've had a lot of like great experiences and opportunities and all that sort of stuff, and a lot of people have helped me along the way, so I'm really grateful for that.
And I noticed that you have done a lot of your driving in Newcastle, obviously where you live, but you were lucky enough. I think the horses went down to Penrith one night and you got a drive there.
Yeah, I did actually. She went super, but we just got stuck. That was all.
Yeah. So I guess you're hoping for the next time a lot of cost goes around now.
Yeah, I am actually. Hopefully Monday.
Okay. And obviously a horse you're never going to forget if he's taught you how to drive.
Yeah, absolutely not. I actually am hoping that I'll be able to keep him when he retires.
Okay, because he's, what is he? He's an 8-year-old. He's been around a bit, and he's had some success in his career. So that'd be nice. What's he had? Over 136 starts. He's won over $100,000 now, so he's been a great money spinner for Connections.
Yeah, very great. He gets the job done pretty often, so can't fault him.
No, for sure and certain. Well, congratulations on your first win. We always like to get first-time winners on the show just to find out a little bit more about them. Great to see you winning, and we wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No problem. There she is, Killy Hepworth, with her first win at Newcastle on Monday on a lot of cost for trainer Bevan Pringle.
27.9 the quarter, and Luxa Turner, he says go. He hits the go button, Alton, and she's raced away. Jillaby Illuminates finishing brilliantly centre of the track, and then came Riley Rainbow. The leader is Luxa Turner, 100 left to run, about 6 metres clear, holding Jillaby Illuminate, and Luxa Turner gets in to beat Jillaby Illuminate. By gee, won't she be better for the run next week?
Well, Luxa Turner, she's back to her best. She's qualified for the New South Wales Oaks. Ricky Alton will be very happy with that. Ricky, happy with her performance last night?
Yeah, I was. Probably the happiest I've been with her this time. Yeah, she seems to be on the way up at the right time, which is good.
Let's go through her campaign. She won first up at Bathurst. What did you make of that performance?
It was just a win, but, you know, that's sort of where she was at in her preparation. We sort of rushed her a little bit to get there, but she got the job done in a good quarter, and the filly that ran her to a short margin's a nice filly as well. So I didn't take all that much out of it because I was happy she won.
Okay, then the two defeats, first up at Bathurst and then again at Young. What did you make of those two runs?
Bathurst, she pulled up with an issue. Young, she actually hit the wheels going up to the mobile and she choked off. She pulled up well after the run at Young, so I was pleased with that, and that's why we went to Melbourne, because she was still so good in herself at home, whereas at Bathurst she actually did pull up not right. So yeah,
so and then she goes to Melbourne and she performs what we expected of her.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, take nothing away from what she beat, but you know, she beat them like that last year at two, and she done it again, and she done it in good time, so that showed me that you know, we were on the right track, and she did pull up well again after that run.
So has there been probably more concerns from outside the camp, because she's obviously had a few little excuses when she has tasted defeat this time in?
Yeah, probably. I mean, people are quick to jump to conclusions and assumptions, and probably the biggest thing was the timing. You know, there was only weeks apart from each run, which made it hard to actually you know, just stop and reassess and get your head around what was going on, because after Young we only had 7 days to get to Melbourne, and you know, that's the race that looked on paper that was going to be, you know, an easy big money race for the year. So we wanted her there, and then it's only been 7 days since that run to the Heat of the Oaks. So, you know, I'm just glad that she's back on track. And, you know, although she didn't win by a big margin last night, her sectionals were good and the second horse went phenomenal. And like I've said to the owners and other people, you know, the days of being the dominant filly are probably near gone, because, you know, Very Pretty looks like she's a star, and you've got other fillies that are coming through the ranks as well. And, you know, lots going to come down to barrier draws now, and, you know, luck in running.
What did you make of Very Pretty's win last night?
Look, I was told last year out of the Emma Stewart camp that this horse was pretty special when we went to Melbourne. And obviously she beat me in the heat of the Breeders' Crown, and then she beat me in the final of the Breeders' Crown. And, you know, I knew I had the benchmark filly going into that race, and the talk around her was that she was pretty special, and she beat me both times. So I know they still think she's one of the best fillies they've had come through their stable. So last night she looked phenomenal.
And do you think you're ready for another match with her next Saturday night?
My filly will be better again next week. I do know that. You know, she showed she's on the way up. So once again, it's going to come down to barrier draws, and it's probably not a two-horse race either. I thought the run of the second horse last night was really good against Luxa Turner. These races, the 2400 and luck in running, is going to play right into a lot of it.
What are you going to do after the Oaks? Have you worked out a plan for her?
Look, we do want to go to Queensland with her. Like, that's been the plan all along, is to take her up there. But yeah, we'll definitely probably just sort of give her a little freshen up and then look to go up there.
All right. Well, all the best of luck. Good luck with the barrier draw, and then good luck in the race next week.
No worries. Thanks, Greg.
Time for the Menangle Express, where I have a look at every race on a Saturday night and try and pinpoint a few winners going forward. Race number one, Tay-Tay, was the $3.60 favourite in an open race. Speed early from It's Mine on the Line and Arden's Ace, but it was Arden's Ace that was able to get to the marker pegs before It's Mine on the Line came off the inside for the retake. They settled into Indian File, It's Mine on the Line, Arden's Ace, Double Encounter, Port-au-Prince, Boom, Let's Rock, Let's Roll, I'm in Trouble, Malcolm's Rhythm and Tay-Tay. 50.8 the lead time, wasn't blistering. Tay-Tay came away from the markers at the post the first time. I'm in Trouble came out in front of it, so the running line was I'm in Trouble, Tay-Tay and Malcolm's Rhythm. 31.3 the first quarter, then the speed went on, 28.7 the second, and that took the sting out of I'm in Trouble at the cages. That forced Tay-Tay out a lot earlier than expected, and with the death seat horse falling away, those on the pegs became major players. Double Encounter came off the inside on the turn and was too fast for them up the straight. First five horses past the post, all raced on the pegs. 26.9, 27.3 the last two quarters. 155.4. The old boy wins another one. Double Encounter for Harry Martin. Boom's nearing a win. Another good run. And Arden's Ace, the type of horse that everyone wants to own. Port-au-Prince didn't do a bad job late. Race two, favourite was Last Tango in Heaven at $2.90. There were three horses that wanted to get forward early. Montalbano, Simply Sam and Last Tango in Heaven. Simply Sam was able to cross and then allowed Last Tango in Heaven to roll to the front. Now, Stravinsky was caught off the pegs in a fast first 400 and kept progressing, 26-4 the first quarter. Last Tango in Heaven let the stablemate Stravinsky roll to the front. So it was Stravinsky, Last Tango in Heaven, Simply Sam, Montalbano, He's Dusty, Danger Zone, Saginaw, Tuppence, Pitch Perfect, Joe Nien. Second quarter, 29-3. And this meant He's Dusty came off the inside. So too did Danger Zone and Saginaw. Nothing pulled wider until they hit the straight. 28-2 was the third quarter. Simply Sam pushed off the pegs looking for clear air. Had to come around Danger Zone, who worked to the front. Last Tango in Heaven was looking for a run, but the stablemate stopped in its lap. Simply Sam came at Danger Zone late, grabbed it right on the line. 27-4 home for a 151.3 mile. Montalbano did a good job looking for runs. Tuppence, he's ready to win. Liked his work late. He can bob up at big odds and win one. Race number three, first heat of the Oaks. Very pretty, was short at $1.06. Three fillies showed speed. Xena Rainbow, Soho Honey Rider, and Very Pretty, but it was Very Pretty that led. Then came Soho Honey Rider, Xena Rainbow, Sweet Haley Jane, Always Be Minnie, Our Ultimate Luca. The running line was centre filly. I'm Queen Bee and She's Full of Spirit. 57.7 the lead time, and Sweet Harley Jane disorganised the field going past the judge the first time when she galloped, checking Always Be Minnie and Our Ultimate Luca. 29.5, 28.6 the first two quarters. Death Seat horse was gone at the cages. Leader was bolting. 28.3 to the turn. Very Pretty went into another gear. The pegs was the place to be. Xena Rainbow ran down Soho Honey Rider in the straight, but they were in a different postcode to the winner. Absolutely brained them Very Pretty. 26.4 up the straight. One as it liked. 154.3. Didn't mind the way She's Full of Spirit worked home. Beaten 34 metres, but the effort wasn't too bad. She can win in weaker company. Race number four, Lux Eterna was the $1.65 favourite. There was speed out wide from Riley Rainbow and Major Envy, but Lux Eterna was able to scoot through and hold. Riley Rainbow made enough room to jump in behind and put Libby Lou three pegs. Then came Bettine and I Can Try. The running line was Major Envy, Lover Resh's, Soho Vespa Lind and Jillaby Illuminate. Lover Resh's ease to get to the pegs, turning into the straight the first time. 58.3 the lead time. Speed was only moderate, 30.5, 29.5. They revved up a little bit in the third quarter, 27.9. Jillaby Illuminate came three wide, approaching the home turn and was still a long way off the leaders. Major Envy was gone on the turn. Libby Lou was looking for room. So too was Bettine, but Lux Eterna ran home in 27 seconds and held on. Second horse, enormous in defeat. Charged home. Never looked like winning, but cut the margin down to 2.4 metres. Expected more of Libby Lou when she got into the clear. She only battled really in the straight and finished fourth. They did run a fast last 400 metres. Race five, the fave here was Super Duper Dude at $2.60. And boy, were there some early fireworks in this one. Colonia Courage kicked out hard. Aliberto showed speed and Nicholas Cage wanted in on the action too, but it was Colonia Courage that held. Hands on, Titterfelt were on the pegs. In the running line, it was Super Duper Dude, Aliberto, Nicholas Cage, My Crackling Rosie, Carlo Gambino, No Heartthrob, and You Betcha Tiger Pie. It did take Super Duper Dude 700 metres to get outside the leader. First two quarters, 26-4, 27-7. So straight away, you were looking for the horses back in the field that had done no work. Colonia Courage was under pressure at the cages and was being flicked along with the whip. Aliberto tipped from the 1-1 on the point of the turn. 28-5 third quarter. No Heartthrob pulled extremely wide in the straight. Carlo Gambino looked like he might be the one. Nicholas Cage wasn't far away. And then all of a sudden, No Heartthrob just exploded down the outside for an easy win. 28-2 up the straight. 150.8 overall. Not a punting proposition. I think I've said it before. He needs things to go his way. He's a very fast horse. Just hard to be confident every week that there's going to be enough speed on to keep him interested in the early stages. Aliberto finished fifth. He's going well. He can win one soon. Nicholas Cage fought hard for second. You Betcha Tiger Pie weaved around a few in the straight and hit the line well. Race 6, the Robin Dundee, and the fave was Major Delight at $3.30. They found their spots pretty quickly. I actually thought they were going a lot slower than the 27.3 first quarter that came up. I Keep Smiling led. Brave You Kelly was happy to take the spot behind the leader. Rakiro Rebel, Three Pegs, and then I'm Prezi Bell. Running line was Major Delight, Not to be Denied, Girl from Rosedale, It's Ebony and Ivory, Fiamma and Treachery. 30.1 for the second quarter. Straight away, it was going to be dominated by those up front and on the pegs. Turning for home, Brave You Kelly came off the pegs to come around I Keep Smiling. And as it rolled off the inside, I Keep Smiling came off the inside, and that left plenty of room for Rakiro Rebel, and Greg Sugars quickly ducked back to the inside. 27.3, 26.4 the final half. Low flying, very speedy performance. 151.1 overall. Those on the pegs dominated the race. I'm Prezi Bell grabbed fourth after racing four pegs. Treachery hit the line hard but couldn't run top four. On that effort, I can't see any of those mares troubling the big guns next week in the QE2 Cup. Two winning hopes next week for mine, and they were both at home in their stable. Race 7 for the Trotters, and the favourite was Toro Stride at $2.15. Powder Keg back to his old tricks, gallop, and that was just as the starter said go. Speed early from Ravon Hall, Toro Stride and Sonny G, but Sonny G got rough and galloped, running into the first corner. 27-4 the first quarter. They settled down like this. Ravon Hall, Toro Stride, Vic Sun, Gunner, She's Ruby Roo, Chief Running Cloud, Rakiro Warrior, and Have No Fear. She's Ruby Roo came away from the inside to start up the running line with Rakiro Warrior and Have No Fear following. As the running line moved up around Toro Stride, it came off the inside, giving some cover to She's Ruby Roo. 30.1, 28.3 the middle half, and the fave looked to be the one to beat. But She's Ruby Roo was lurking in behind the favourite, and while there were a few gaps opening up in the field, the cream rose to the top. Toro Stride loomed, hit the front, but then She's Ruby Roo pulled around Toro Stride and proved too good in the run to the line. 28.3 up the straight, 154.1 for the mile. Just shows you how well Royal Dan's going with his impressive sub-153 mile 2 weeks ago. Chief Running Cloud made up a lot of ground late. If they drop back to midweek, follow it, it'll be winning. Race number 8, short price favourite in the last was Kingman at $1.22. There was good speed early from Double Fear, who crossed. Royal Cruiser showed early speed as well. Kingman kept coming and was allowed to roll to the front. So markers, it was Kingman, Double Fear, Royal Cruiser, Marulan Boy and Larrick and Lenny. Running line was Minos and Wingman Lou. 27.9 first quarter, 28.9 through the second. Kingman looked to be racing on one rein at some stage in the back straight. As they approached the turn, Minos got up and eyeballed the leader, 27.9 round the turn, and then it made it, or it became a dash up the straight. Minos gave the short price favourite a mighty scare once or twice in the straight, but Kingman held on to score a narrow victory. Brave the second horse. Royal Cruiser shot home when it got into the clear as well. It's a nice horse, ready to win in weaker company. Kingman, he'll be short again next time around. I don't know if I'd be rushing in to take silly odds about him. 26.7 up the straight, 151.4 for the mile overall. Best win on the night, very pretty. Hard to see them beating her in the Oaks. One in second gear, looks to have the class edge on her rivals next week. Best beaten performance of the night. Boom is ready to win, so is Ali Birdo, but Jillaby Illuminate was so brave behind Luxa Turner. Look, I can't see her beating very pretty next week, but her run was so good, especially with the slick closing sectionals. Big effort to get as close as she did to Luxa Turner, so I'll go with Jillaby Illuminate as the best beaten performance of the night. And best driver of the night, there are a few. Robbie Morris and Simply Sam, that was good. Jack Traynor let everything unfold in front of him with no heartthrob. But driver of the night, Greg Sugars in the Robin Dundee Stakes. Needed some luck at the top of the straight, but Sugars steered away from the pegs before heading back to them to get around I Keep Smiling. Big weekend for Sugars. Alexandra Park one night, Menangle the next, and he picked up a double. So driver of the night, Greg Sugars in the Robin Dundee.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning? Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner!
That was legitness.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam! Just like that. That's all there is to it, Dustin. That's all there is to it. A winner. Just like that.
I'm the winner is...
Well, 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 we do have a winner, winner, chicken dinner after all these weeks. I'm finally in the positive thanks to Carbonier at Wagga last Tuesday night. Huge profit now of $2. Mr. T didn't do a bad job either with Letty's Reason making another win at good odds. So Mr. T is now minus $30. Here's two tips. Mr. T at Bathurst. Bracken Warrior, race 6, number 1. This is Wednesday. Corey Parker and Taylor Osmond combined. Had the 5 starts this year. Has only been placed once. Comes off a 7th at Goulburn last time out behind Tullajua Beach. But the big plus is the draw, and Taylor Osmond can really get them off the gate. So Mr. T is expecting big improvement from Bracken Warrior, race 6, number 1. And race 7, number 6, Almost an Angel. Another one that's had plenty of chances this year. In fact, 8 starts and has only been placed once. Ran a good race last Wednesday at Bathurst when placed 3rd behind Unreal Feeling and was only beaten less than 2 metres. Nathan Turnbull driving well, and Mr. T is expecting a strong performance. So that is race 7 at number 6, Almost an Angel. My 2, Menangle, race 8, number 10. Amore Infida. It translates to Treacherous Love, beautifully named, being by Captain Treacherous out of Castellina Lover, who was a handy mare herself, winning a couple in New South Wales. Couldn't have been more impressive on debut in the country, going 152.2, and I'd expect a fair bit of improvement in that time to come. Will be short odds, but looks the winner. Race 8, number 10, Amore Infida. And Bathurst, race 4, number 3, Marvelous Mac. I made it the horse to follow out of the Menangle Express last week. The winner of that race doubled up, let his reason. So the form's good. And Ultimate Bliss came out of that race as well, and it won at Newcastle on Friday night. Now, in saying that, instead of a $10 win bet, I'm going to go $5 each way. I've got a lot of respect for a few in this race, including Buddy Brilliance, who I've put into this section of the show before. It's won 4 of its 8 starts, but all 4 wins have come at his last 4 runs. So each way, I think, is perfect for Marvelous Mac. Let's try and stay in the positive with another couple of winners. So that is race 4, number 3, Marvelous Mac. Just while we are talking Bathurst, and we're on a bit of a watch on young Jet Turnbull. He's approaching 100 career winners. He only started driving in July last year, and he's only got to register another 4, I think, to hit that 100 winner mark in his career, which would make him the fastest driver to 100 career victories. Angus Garrard did it when he was 17. Amanda Turnbull would have brought up her 100 pretty quick too, I would have thought, but Jet trying to become the first driver in Australia since records were kept to drive 100 winners by the time at the age of 16. He doesn't turn 17 until July, so he's got plenty of time to pick up those 4 wins that he needs, but we've just got an eye out on Jet Turnbull over the next couple of weeks as he heads towards that milestone. Fantasy update. With only a few weeks left to go, made the big move last week, traded out Cam Hart. It really didn't help a lot. In fact, I went backwards. Anyway, overall, Champo 71 is on 17,283 points. He's 120 clear of Mays, who is 110 points clear of third, which is Manning 1990 on 17,053. Those three look to have locked away the cash this year, but stranger things have happened. I'm back to 78th overall, 2,102 points off the lead. I'm getting beaten an average of 100 points around. I need to lift my game. Round 22 winner was Mick 70 with 779 points. Paddy B was second with 776. Matt McClure and Cam Vic were tied for third with 763. Few big bonus races coming up this week with the Group 1 races. Might be time to draft Mark Pitt into the team with Ladies in Red and Very Pretty next Saturday night looking dominant favourites in their races. Set your team. Good luck. That just about wraps up the show. Big thank you to my guest today, Lucas Rando, after his 4 winners. I said at the top of the show, look, I haven't had a lot to do with Lucas during my time in the sport, especially in the last few years being away from harness racing, but he speaks extremely well. He's got his head screwed on, does a very good job. Well done to Keely Hepworth. Never easy for these young people who drive their first winner, and then I contact them and ask them to come on and do an interview, with many of them having never done anything like it before. But Keely did a great job, and congratulations to her. Goulburn was great today. Big thank you to everyone who made themselves available to me at Goulburn, especially Ricky, who we've doubled up and used in the show as well. The racing was exciting. The music topped it off, and the That wraps up the Carnival of Cups. Looking forward to the series again later in the year. Here's hoping we get to see more great Aussie singers around country harness tracks in the future. Don't forget, if you see someone drive their first winner or train their first winner, to get in contact with me via Instagram, Facebook or Twitter. I've got a couple of spies out there that are always keeping an eye out for me, so a big thank you to them and to those that contact me to let me know they've seen our first-time winner. I hope you've enjoyed the Sunday session. I'll do it all again next weekend. Have a great week. Enjoy Menangle next Saturday night when the fairer sex takes centre stage. Talk to you in a week's time.